Matthew chapter 27, and in a little while we'll be in Ephesians. The living dead versus the walking dead. And there is a difference. In Matthew chapter 27, things are unfolding in our world that you are so privileged to see because no other generation has ever witnessed what is going on. And I hope you realize that the symbol of the cross that stands here behind me at the baptistry was not an afterthought. God did not see Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden sin and said, "Oh no, and people done messed up. That wasn't in the plan." It was always in the plan. He knew what was going to happen. Do you say, well, how do you explain that? Because man made choice. I can't. But you can't explain how a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk either, can you? But you eat it, drink it, you eat the cheese. And Matthew chapter 27, an event happens that I believe is very symbolic of what is going on today. I've actually had people tell me that didn't happen in the Bible, Brother Tim. And I would take them to the passage and say, well, read it then. You know, don't believe me, read it. Matthew chapter 27, and we'll start with verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He gave up his life. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. In other words, they exploded or were torn apart. And the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. There are a number of instances of the living dead which we find throughout Scripture. If you remember in the Old Testament, in the Chronicles of the Kings or the books of the Kings, there was a man who was thrown hastily into the grave beside the prophet Elijah. And when he was thrown into that grave in a hurry, his bones touched the prophet of Elijah, who God had worked through a prophet of Elisha, get those two confused. And when they did, he was revived and he came back to life, the living dead. There were other instances where, in fact, also in the Kings, where a young man was raised back to life. In Jesus' day when he was living before the cross, he healed Jairus' daughter, he healed the widow of Nain's son, and he also healed another that we hear of. And we find that any time that Jesus was around dead things came to life. Samuel Chadwick, the great Presbyterian preacher of days gone by, referring to the story of Lazarus, said, "You don't want a dead church? Here's what you do. Get your Lazarus." He said, because when Jesus Christ starts raising people from the dead, it attracts a crowd and people are always going to come by to see how it's done. You want to see your church grow? Go soul winning. Lead people to Christ, the living dead. This particular story here, and I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, I find it very interesting that Jesus Christ was the first one who died. And by the way, he wasn't hit by a truck. He didn't lay down and said, "Now kill me." He willed himself dead. And I told the folks on Wednesday night that were here, you can't do that. You might be able to commit suicide and you might be able to take your own life, but you can't do what Jesus did. Jesus was not killed on the cross. He died. He literally, it says, gave up the ghost. And they even marveled that he was dead. Because he was, if anyone had killed him, it would have been just like you or I being killed. But he was the God-man. He said, all right, it is finished. And when he said it is finished, the whole world rejoiced in what was going on, or those that would know Jesus Christ later. And all of those saints that had prior died knew what was happening, I believe. Now, there is a lot of theology there that, and a lot of people argue over it and everything else. But if you look at verse 52, the graves were open and many of the bodies of the saints which arose. If you look at 52, it says the graves were open, and you see that little punctuation mark. And I believe there is a time period of difference between 52 and 53 in the verses. You say, what kind of period? 3 days. If you study it, you understand from what he is talking about there that the graves were torn apart. The rocks were rent. They were exploded. What sealed the graves in those days? Rocks, tombstones. And there it does appear to us from reading and studying this passage that those graves were literally blown apart and you could look in and see those saints' graves. But they didn't come out at this time. It said, can you prove that? Sure I can. Just read the word. Verse 53. And came out of the graves when? After his resurrection. Jesus is the joint heir of our inheritance, he tells us in 1 Corinthians. He doesn't get his till we get ours. We're joint heirs together, and that's all going to happen in the rapture. But you know what's kind of neat? These graves, I believe, from what we can tell in this scripture, were literally, the rocks were blown open. You could see inside them as a testament to Jesus is down. He is down right now, but just wait. In 3 days, something's going to happen. And these people, it says, after the resurrection appeared unto many. Just yet another proof that Jesus is who he said he was. Jesus is not like Muhammad. He is not like Buddha. He is not like any other person that ever was a good person that walked the face of the earth. You can visit their graves. I love that song Brother Brad sings, I went by the tomb of Buddha. But he's not there. I can feel him. He's alive. He came out of that grave, and when he did, he brought these people out. You say, what happened to them after that? I have no idea. You get to heaven, you can find out. You can ask him if you remember. I really don't know. But I know they were the living dead. They were made alive. The Bible tells us, and we'll look at it further in a little bit, that you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were born a dying. When you're born, you automatically have a death date coming up. Now that's just great to think about, isn't it? Many ways to die, but unless we go by way of rapture, we're going. But here's the thing. All of those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, invited him into their heart and said, yes, Lord, I believe you are more than just a story. I believe you are more than just a fable. I believe you're more than just a good man. I don't just go celebrate a ritual on Sunday, but you are in my heart. You are in my life. You guide me. You are real. As the choir sang this morning, as Brother Chris just sang a while ago, I really began to live. When I got saved, I became the living dead. I am no longer worried about where I'm going to go when I die. I will never die. I was dead, but now I live. Brother Donnie's testimony, I've used that before, brother, in other places, and he'll tell you, you know, I think it was, I can't remember if it was last Wednesday night or when, it was sometime I heard him make mention of it, that I believe it was Mother's Day, that's right, last Sunday, he mentioned the fact that he met Christ right over there. And he used to think he knew what life was all about, didn't you? But then he really began to live. God changed his life. That's the living dead. But I want to talk to you just a few moments about the walking dead, and I hope it doesn't frighten you too much, because if it does, it means you are not the living dead yet. You know, there is a great fascination in our day with what Hollywood has called zombies. Now, zombie, he said, where in the world are you going? And well, just hang on. I thought zombies was a new term. It's not. I went back and began to research this. Zombie, according to Wikipedia, Webster, and all that stuff, it says is a corpse that is said to be revived by witchcraft, especially in certain African and Caribbean religions is where it came out of. A person or a reanimated corpse that has been turned into a creature capable of movement, but not of rational thought. Also said a person who appears lifeless, apathetic, or completely unresponsive to their surroundings. And I said, bless God, he's talking about Baptists. You know, one church the other day, they had a guy die on the front row, right in the middle of the church, rather, and they called the paramedics, and they hauled out 10 people before they found the right one. But I guarantee you, I know not all Baptist church members are dead because, man, when the preacher says amen, you can't find them. They go to the salad bar. Life comes out. Everything the devil that God has, the devil has a cheap imitation. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, is one of our laws of science. There is a law of the spiritual world that is this. For every action of God's, the devil has an appearing equal reaction. You see, all throughout history, that theme is there, and it is a true biblical theological law. He wants the worship of God. For every worship of God, he has a false worship. For everything that God has, he has a false worship. And for everything that God does, the devil tries to mimic and recreate, and he is doing just that right in front of our very eyes. I haven't watched any of the zombie movies. I see them on people's trucks and all of that. People put on the back of the truck, zombie killer or whatever. Can I tell you, friend, it's not that far away. You say, oh, that's just a bunch of hog. Well, just hang on. Do you realize at this very moment, 5,000 of the world's greatest scientists have sent petition to all of the major governments in the world. And in that petition, they have requested that all of the rulers of the world get together at the UN building and that they sign a peace treaty. I don't know what for. We've had more peace treaties since World War II, and there hasn't been one single day without war since World War II. But they want the scientists that are petitioning our governments of the world to sign a treaty saying we will not use animated robots on each other in an act of war. You realize our government currently is working on a cyberborg soldier. You says, that's movies. That sounds like Star Trek. You don't have to believe me. You go do the research. And many men greater than me have been doing that. Read Brother Carl Gallup's book, The Roaring Lion. He finished that book in 2016, and it's already outdated with the facts that have changed. This week things changed before I got to this message. Knowledge is now doubling every 12 hours. It used to be every 1,000 years. Except in our second and third grade, our fifth and sixth grade math classes, right, Brother Bob? He used to teach there. But what they are actually creating now is a chip that will go inside a soldier's brain that is a human interface to a computer. And that computer will then be able to help assist that soldier as he makes decisions on the battlefield. What is more, recently they have now proclaimed that they can reproduce every single human body part. But LaVon was sharing with me about some of the DNA, or the printers, the 3D printers that are helping with that and all that. You can put an arm up there and it'll copy it and all the different things. very useful in the realm of medical science in some areas. They have, of course, transplanted hearts, brains, all that stuff is coming. The brain is real close to a transplant. It's not quite yet in humans. They are now also working on, with that interfacing, a computer program that will upload your mind. Things that we used to think were science fiction, like cell phones. For you young people. I was telling somebody the other day that I used a phone booth to call home when I was in college. And one of our young people looked at me like I had three heads. I said, we used a calling card. And they said, what was that? I said, well, you, never mind. And our brother Kevin Nile and I got to talking about dialing with a rotary dial phone and missing. You remember if you missed the last number, so you had to hang up and start all over again? And all of that business. And I tell you, it's doubling and tripling. Well, now, you know, you have a cell phone that you can look at it and it will unlock. Have you seen the commercials? Undo your phone with just a look because it is face recognition. That's where all that's going. What they are doing with this is they are preparing for revelation and they don't even know it. Because in the book of Revelation, we hear tell of when the false prophet and the beast and all of that, and I'm not going to go into all that this morning, but he is going to be killed. And then remember what's going to happen. He's going to be down for a period of time. What? 3 days. What did I tell you earlier? The law of theology? For everything that Jesus does, the devil has a cheap imitation. And it's true in your life too. And so with all of this technology, it is rapidly so far going that what they are going to create is they're getting a thing ready so that medical scientists can upload your mind. There are people already that are asking that their bodies be frozen so that they can be revived again when all this technology takes place. But they won't really be here, don't you worry. They may be walking around, and they may even be zombies talking to you. We're coming to that. But only God can breathe the life in a man. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they come up with. It tells me that in the book, and there may be other books. Brother Carl's book, who's very well written, might have got outdated in 2016, but the book I hold in my hand will not be outdated. And it is going to, when this all unfolds, last week as I was preparing for this message, an article hit me that was odd. Scientists took two snails, and the report just came out last week, and they caused certain things of shocks, electrical shocks and such, to a snail. Then they took that snail's DNA or memory base, whatever it is that makes a snail what a snail is, and they transferred it to another snail. That other snail started reacting like it had been shot when it had never been shot. What they are saying they believe they have now done is they have found a way to transfer memory DNA. Do you understand where that's going? What they're saying is they're going to be able to upload your loved one's mind to the cloud. I don't know what's going to happen if it rains. But they're going to put all that information. You say, well, that'd be wonderful. My wife would be back just like she was. It won't be really her, but it'll act like it might have been her or him. And they're going to bring them back, and they say they can reproduce the entire body just like it was. And they're going to be able to bring that back, put it back into your mind. What it is going to create is a false society where we won't know who's who. Just this last week, LaVon Innes was sharing with me that there was, or a week before rather, that he'd watched an interview where someone interviewed with the reporters, and when they were done, they revealed the person they had just interviewed was a robot, and they didn't even know it. You might have saw the article where someone called, Google Assistant called and ordered a haircut and answered all the questions correctly, and no one on the other end recognized that it was a computer and not a person. Now, personally, I don't want Alexa in my house. You can have her if you want. I'll just keep her out. I'm just a little leery because now they're saying, yeah, by the way, if you have one of those things in your house, it can be hacked. I don't know why we didn't think it could be. I've never understood that. But it's coming where we won't be able to contain it. It's going to be everywhere. Zombies, walking dead. Very likely, people sitting here under the sound of my voice on the internet and here are going to see people walking that were dead, and you may not even know it. And people are going to applaud it and say, wow, that's wonderful. Here's my loved one again. But once again, let me remind you, God breathe. Real life is only of God. It is a cheap recreation. And what is happening with that is God is giving the wisdom to these people. You say, God's doing that? I thought it was the devil. God controls this thing. Don't get too upset. Don't get your socks in a wad over it. God's planning this thing. The cross was not an afterthought. Neither is any of this. The walking dead are coming because God is setting the table for the book of Revelation to come. As Brother Brad sings the midnight cry, I can see the signs everywhere. It will be a cheap imitation, and man will be able to be the walking dead. Elon Musk, the science guru, although he is sometimes crazy sounding, he has warned repeatedly to our government that artificial intelligence frightens him because he's afraid it's going to take over the world. He's afraid he's created a monster that he is not going to be able to kill and control. When you read, and I used to read in the book of Revelation how that false prophet and that beast and all that was going to be killed, and then it's going to be raised back to life, I used to wonder, how on earth would that happen? When I used to read about the three the witnesses that will be killed for God and that they will be seen all around the world at one time, I thought, how in the world will everybody be able to see them at once? Well, I think that's a pretty easy answer, isn't it? You can watch them on your watch or your cell phone or on the wall or anywhere you want. It'll be streamed, live stream around the world. The walking dead is coming. I always ask people a strange question. Sometimes I look and I say, are you alive? And a lot of times people say, what? What'd you say? And I said, are you alive? Well, maybe I'll be able to ask that for real. Are you alive or are you a zombie? Just wanted to know, you know. Which one I was talking to. Are you the real you or are you the fake you? As I tell you, I've been some places lately and I wasn't sure. You know, I've seen people and I'm wondering if they really were alive or if they're just walking around dead, you know? The other day we were at, we've been at a lot of schools. I think we've been at about 12, counting our middle school club. We did about 13 Bible clubs in the last 4 or 5 weeks. And one of those, I think it was Cooper Academy we were at last week, I asked a little girl. She came in the room, and I didn't know her name, of course. So I said, she was just bouncing in, just saying, hey, to everybody. I said, well, hey, people, you are a people, aren't you? And she looked at me, and she said, no. And I said, well, what are you, sweetie? She said, I am a human being. And I said, well, you're alive. And she said, I'm not sure about that. I said, looks to me like you're very alive. I pity your teachers. But there are people right now that are basically the walking dead. We use the expression sometimes, dead on our feet. We don't really mean it. But you see people and they are going through life just trying to make it. They are hurting. They are addiction ridden. They are oppressed by sin. And they are wrapped up in those chains. And it is almost like they were and are the walking dead. Where were you when God found you? You were dead. You were just as good as dead. 1 Corinthians 15:36 says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. A corn seed has to fall into the ground and die. We use the expression born again. Nicodemus said, Jesus said to Nicodemus, rather, you must be born again. You must be made alive. I firmly believe that most everyone here and those that are out there in the media audience are going to be one of two categories within the next 40 to 50 years, either the walking dead or the living dead. The walking dead, science may be able, and they're going to be able to get you to where you can come back. It might not be you, but it'll look like you, sound like you, might even smell like you. But it won't be you. But everyone that's under the sound of my voice that understands and knows Jesus Christ as Savior will be living yet though they die. And that's what's the most important thing you need to understand is this is coming. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You are animated. When you trusted Christ, all of a sudden, as the song Brother Chris sang a while ago, I really began to live. You begin to see things. I never forget when my daughter got her glasses for the first time. She walked out and said, "That's what trees look like." That's the way it is when Jesus found you. What were you like? Do you remember it? Do you remember what was going on? If you don't, then just as soon as you possibly can, you need to find out. Because you will be part of the walking dead unless you become the living dead. Even though the Apostle Paul says, "I die daily," I know that I am dying every day in the flesh. He also tells us, "But that corruptible, that is this flesh, which is corruptible, will one day become incorruptible." One day I will be alive even though I die. I look in the mirror and I realize that there's some things there that used to not be there. Our daughter graduated from high school yesterday, and Wendy said, "You know, I think I feel a little old tonight." And just a little. And I said, "I think she got over it today though, right?" But I looked in the mirror and I said, "You know, there's a few gray things on my beard that used to not be there." Somebody told me yesterday, they said, "There's a few things here up top that aren't there that used to be there." And you get my drift. Colossians 2:13 says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened or made alive, having forgiven all your trespasses." 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 also says the same thing. "For Christ also has suffered once, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but he was quickened, made alive by the Spirit." In other words, Christ was dead, but he rose again, and that's what he does for us. All those people we read about in Matthew that came out, walked again, that's what we're going to do. 1 Thessalonians says that the trump of God shall sound. And when he talks about the fact that he's going to come from the cloud, "And then we which are alive shall remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Some have said your English Bible doesn't say the word rapture. They just don't know how to study the Bible. That's all. If you look up the word there that he uses for that, the Greek word for it literally is rapturous, raptured. You can call it whatever you want. We're leaving. I don't care if you call it rapture, snatched out of here, taken away, or you can call it whatever you want to do. But when that trumpet sounds, if I'm still here, I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm gone. How about you? Have you been made alive? You know, I don't know if you call it privilege or opportunity, but try to help comfort people around graves, cemeteries, and funeral homes all my life. I remember one time somebody telling me, "Well, you preachers don't know what the real world's like." And I thought, well, I've worked secular jobs most of my ministry as well. And not only that, I really thought about it one morning. It was 2 a.m. and the funeral home director didn't have anybody to help him when I was helping carry a corpse out. And I thought, they didn't teach me this in Bible college. And I thought, where's that guy that was talking about the real word? I'm going to go wake him up about 3 o'clock and get him to come help me. But you know what? We all are like that without Jesus. What does a dead person do in the flesh? We don't like to think about it, but nothing. I mean, I could go down to the funeral home, and it might be kind of morbid and disgusting, and you'd probably be upset with me for that. But I could bring in a corpse in here and not being disrespectful to any of your loved ones that have died, but they don't do anything. You know, people sometimes, and if you do, that's fine. It's good memories for you. I guess I understand that. I've not been back to my father's grave because he's not there. No reason for me to go there. I'm going to meet him. I'm going to meet him, but I'm not going there to meet him. And a dead person does nothing. A dead person, you could come up here and you could put a little money in the dead person's hands and you could say, now, when the offering plate goes by, you put that offering in the plate, okay? They're not going to do it. The only way they can do that is if you reach out, take their hand and drop it in for them. A dead person is not going to tell you, I love you. Now, we may even, as I said, get to the science part that's going crazy around our world as God sets this thing up for the end, and they may be able to act like they are. That's where people are today. And that's my point, when they have not trusted Christ as Savior. They may look alive. They come to church. They may even take out their wallet or their purse or checkbook or whatever it is, and they may put a little money in the offering, but they're dead. They may sit on a pew like some of you here this morning, or they may listen in on the internet like you're doing now or the radio, but they're dead. They may actually dress up. They may even be able to speak, but spiritually they are dead. And until they are animated, made alive, resurrected in the Spirit, they're dead. They may look alive, but they are the walking dead. The most important thing that you need to understand from it, one, as a Christian, don't you worry about it when they start having people that are walking around that really are dead. It's not a big deal. God's got it under control. God hasn't fell off the throne. He's not even sick. He's got it all under control. The Bible says that He sets up kingdoms and removes kingdoms. He sets up leaders and He removes leaders. He's not worried about Kim Jong-un. He's not worried about Donald Trump. He's not worried about any other leader around the world. He's got it under control. Let me tell you, Christian, don't get discouraged. He's still true. He's still coming back. And as Brother Danny sang a while ago, it is still real. But if what I was talking about this morning scared you to death, or maybe you said, Brother Tim, I don't ever remember feeling that in my life. And you say, and I know you don't base your salvation on feelings, but if you never noticed a change in your life on the authority of God's Word, you're dead. And you are dying, and you are headed for a hell that is very real. You say, that's awful strong language for a Sunday morning. It's an awful strong place to go. And I'd rather warn you. Have you been made alive? Are you the living dead? Are you the walking dead? And there is a difference. Which one are you? Let's stand for time of invitation this morning. And I know it was a very simple thought. Just wanted to share with you some thoughts there. As Brother Bragg comes, and I want to give you a chance this morning. Maybe you have whatever God leads you to sing or do, but as gives that time this morning, maybe you just want to come down here and you want to thank God that you are dead, but you're the living dead. And you know where you're going. You might be here this morning, and I hear people all the time say, I sure wish somebody would go visit my so-and-so that doesn't know Jesus. What about you? Maybe you need to come down and ask God And you need to come down. Many a young person or older person alike has been saved by the prayers of maybe a parent or a relative. This altar's a real place to do business. Come and pray for them. Ask God how He could help you do that. You know, as we're here this morning, and let's just bow our heads this morning as I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a time of invitation. If that's a big old aisle and a long way to go, I guarantee you, you take that first step, He'll help you take the rest of them. Hardest thing in the world to do is admit that you're lost. Sometimes you go in somewhere and you can't find your way. Sometimes it's hard for people to go in and say, I'm lost and I don't know where I'm going. But when you get where you're going, where is it that you're going to be going? You might need me to be here this morning. You need to come down and we'll have to take a Bible and show you how you can know Jesus. You're here this morning and you say, Brother Tim, I've never been made alive by Jesus. I really feel like I'm the walking dead. Would you mind if I just prayed for you this morning? I'm not going to come to you. Would you just raise your hand up right back now where I can pray for you? You're here this morning, you say, I feel like the walking dead. I've never given my life to Christ. Just anywhere in the audience. I won't come and embarrass you. Love to take the Bible and show you how you can know that heaven's your home and that it's a real place. Father, I pray as we have a time of invitation this morning, as you work in hearts, and you will make alive some hearts this morning that were dead, and you will bring them to life. For it's in your name I pray. Amen.